news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Sean this hour, and for Dalton.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you feeling?
I'm here.
Okay.
All right.
It's about 6 minutes after, well, let's call it seven after eight now this morning. Tonight I'm going to be at the Eastern Shore Bowling Lanes, I guess, Eastern Shore Lanes Junior Achievement. We've got our annual fundraiser. A bunch of companies come out and bowl, raise money for Junior Achievement. Junior Achievement does a great job in the community, in the schools, trying to educate kids on certain things that got to do with finance and entrepreneur, you know, being an entrepreneur and just giving kids the confidence to get out in the world and do their thing. And it really works pretty darn well. So we need to raise money so we can get to this more of the these programs in schools. Schools love them, and we're in as many as we can, as often as we can, but it's the funding to get the people in the schools to do all that. So that's what we're doing tonight, going to raise some money so we can help the kids out. So we'll see you at Eastern Shore Lanes. I'll be over there about 4 o'clock or so. I think between 4 and 5 is, let me check it. Yeah, 4 and 5, drink beer.
Right,
and then,
okay,
and then 5 o'clock, the bowling begins.
Because I was about to ask you. I said, okay, so if you got this fundraiser going on here, you know, and it's bowling, will there be like pitcher specials and...
I can't speak.
This is how you raise money.
I know.
Okay.
No,
we have done a lot of events over the years.
We've all done them, and we know one of the best ways to the wallet is to grease it up with a little
pitcher of Coors Light.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. Also on Friday, we'll be at Bowlerama. That's the new name of the bowling center out on Schillinger Road, doing the same thing. So
that's Bolero.
Bolero. Bolero.
Which is very funny. Like Bolero.
Bolero.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is the whole, listen to a series, this podcast series takes businesses you never really thought, like sectors, and digs into it, you know, how they work and all that. I'm a nerd. I like to learn about, you know, business sectors.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done car washes, the economies of car washes, but they did the economies of bowling alleys and took it through where, you know, it's more mom and pops, obviously, through decades here in this country, to consolidation, to efficiency, to less people bowling, but maximizing the efficiency of the dollars in the bowling alleys that do exist, and how they find their new customers coming in, and, you know, where are the kids coming in, because the culture's changed.
Yeah.
But these places have stayed viable, and how they've tweaked their business model is really cool. It was like an hour and something about bowling alleys. I was fascinated.
I'd be fascinated by the car wash one. I'd like
it,
to
it
see
very
that one
cool.
too. Because we have new car washes in town that are popping up all over the place.
Correct. I mean, if they're breaking ground and it's not going to be a vape shop
it's
or
a car
plasma
wash.
Center, you know,
yeah.
or...
Yeah.
You know, it's probably going to be a car wash.
Yeah,
it's what's important. We want to have clean cars that we can vape in as we go to sell plasma.
checking all three boxes back to back to back. Also, couple of stories we're going to get to this hour. I'm a little bit harried and disorganized, but I think I'll come across the stories I'm looking for. In Vegas. Things are down about 11% or even more over the last year. Fewer and fewer. Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. We'll get to it. First of all, you can gamble with your phone. You don't have to. Used to be you go to Vegas because that's where you could gamble. Mm-hmm. Now you can gamble anytime, anywhere, wherever you are, on games and sporting events and things like that. Also, younger people aren't drinking as much, apparently, or socializing in that way as much.
Right.
So Vegas has kind of been. It's not as attractive.
Yeah, we went there in November.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah.
So I've been seeing stories where people are saying the casinos are empty.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but I don't have anything to compare it against because I'm, you know, wasn't there. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's like in the movie Casino, you know, where they were packed out to the gills. But we went out there. Yeah, November, took mom to see the Eagles show at the Sphere.
What is the Sphere like? Tell me, is that as amazing an experience as it seems?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's
It's a new arena out there, and it's very unusual.
To me, the venue part of it, everybody posts up, oh, it's this like almost surround vision thing, and it's really neat. I'm not going to take away from it. People go on and on. I'm like, well, it's cool. It's good. For somebody who comes from music radio like I did, the audio is the best of any venue I've ever worked in, introduced shows in, been to shows. I've never heard audio as perfect as I did at the Sphere.
Are you kidding me?
The best. Give me Fox Theater. Give me Sanger's. Give me, I'm trying to think about the best venues. I've got the Apollo is my favorite, but they didn't have great audio. The Sphere audio is just, it's perfect. It's music fans, go see your favorite band there if you can, because it is, that part is perfect.
You know, that's something to be hopeful about with our new arena. Maybe technology has come along where even an arena the size of Mobile's might have maybe the best sound we've ever heard.
I don't know. I mean, this is, we can nerd out and talk about that. But yeah, I know we kind of got off on this conversation of who's in the casinos. And I mean, like I said, I don't have a backdrop. So I'm not like I can say, well, when I was going in the 70s mm-hmm. and when I was going in the 80s, I didn't, you know. But it was like where we saw, and I didn't spend a bunch of time, but we walked through, we stayed in the casino hotels. You had to walk through the casinos. It looked kind of like the Mississippi Coast vibe, you know. Old and smoking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There are plenty of people in there, but there wasn't like somebody in an Armani suit playing blackjack or poker or anything. It was just, Edna and Merle from Iowa in there spending what money they got.
Yeah. But that's, you do. You see older people in a casino, and maybe for the younger, it's not something that they're. Did you know that I was wined and dined by a radio station in Las Vegas, in the 80s, they flew me out there. And guess who the act was? So they fly me out there mm-hmm. with the idea that they're going to wine and dine me.
Recruit me.
I'm going to take the job, morning show job out there. It's 1987, something like that. I go out there, and everything's fine. Everything's great. Go to this dinner and a show, and the showman, the comedian on stage was Bill Cosby.
Wow.
Bill Cosby. And I thought, even then, I thought he was lazy. I didn't think the show was very good. This is before any allegations. He was one of the biggest things in the world.
He didn't try to
drug
you.
No.
Yeah, okay.
But the station did. No. So
yeah, those were the 80s.
They were trying to get me to sign on the line. But Bill Cosby was one of the biggest names in entertainment at that time because of the Cosby Show.
Yeah, it was huge.
But I thought his comedy act was kind of lame, actually. All right, so this is what I was getting to. AI already causing tens of thousands of layoffs in the U.S. In the job market, according to a new report. According to executive outplacement firm from firm Challenger, Gray and Christmas, AI is reshaping the technology sector, causing a 36% increase in job cuts in that industry. There's also talk that 70% of college graduates from this past year, or it might have been a year ago, are still seeking employment in the job that they studied for in college. People are not finding the jobs that they want, and AI is a big part of that.
Well, it's going to be AI is, here's the thing, it seems to be a little bit of a affecting, people thought about AI coming in, it's going to affect like people with CDLs, right? Mm-hmm. That they're going to be all these self-driving trucks and vehicles. So that's coming, but that hasn't been 10 years ago projected. That's where it was going to hit the most. But now you look at, in the world of tech, I mean, here's Microsoft, mm-hmm. a number of people they laid off, right? Huge number, like tech companies that these kids, okay, they go, they've got, they like realize, okay, that's tech, that's where it's growing, that's where I can make some money, that's where I can, and that's one of the areas that, white collar jobs getting hit a lot there too. So is it time for UBI? Where universal basic income for all these people, the kids come straight out and they just get handed a check to stay at the house.
I hope not. I hope that's not the case.
No, it's the debt. That's the death of society. But
Well, I'll tell you what. It's to me some of the offshoot from all of this. I would think would be if suddenly the job's not there. And let us know on the text line if you or maybe a young recent college graduate is dealing with this right now. I think, you know, the one place where you can be guaranteed a job and security, I would think, long-term security, military. This may help military recruiting with kids not really having any direction or anywhere to go. If you can't find a job in what you studied for 4 years, or if you're coming out of high school right now and you're reading up on AI enough to have an awareness that this is going to change the job market, maybe substantially. That'd be my guess anyway. I don't want to, you know, I'm reading, I don't want to be like the guy that's like running up and down the hallways or talking into the microphone and saying things that are scaring people, but I'm reading things that are scaring me.
I've been talking about, I guess it's kind of, the callus has built up for me because go back 10, 12 years ago, I was talking about this. This was coming and people were like, reading science fiction books or something like that. I said, no, eventually it'll get here. I don't know that it's all Terminator situation, but I do think it's a situation where the jobs, there'll still be some jobs, right? In like, for example, coding and all that in the computer world. But that's one of the first places that the machine can teach the machine to code. And the number of people, that doesn't mean everybody. There's still going to be human beings involved in it. But just the volume of people at a place like a Google or something like that, they're not going to be needed.
No, they're not going to be needed. Let's look industry by industry. Let's say the food and beverage. Okay,
right.
You think would that be affected?
I mean, maybe in the back of the office.
Well,
you know, that kind of stuff. But out front, I mean,
you need the service.
You need servers. Now, will there be some efficiencies come through AI? I'm sure in that, but no, there still needs to be people there. But start thinking eventually the robots and all that will, you know, but that's a different thing. I mean, that, okay, manufacturing, robots came in, people did lose their jobs, but still they're humans employed.
We're jobs, but not as many.
And I think in food and beverage it will be. I think that it's going to hit, and it is hitting the tech side.
Yes.
More than probably any other sector right now.
So eventually, will it
move into more places, but I don't think, like, food and beverage would be fine. But the problem is, too, that if there's a glut of people that might have been going to a tech job or something else are now going for a food and beverage job, now you're depressing wages by just normal economics because there's more supply of workers than there is demand for them. So,
let me read a little of the story to you. The executive outplacement firm says that technological updates involving automation and AI implementation have resulted in 20,219 jobs cut in 2025, another 10,375 explicitly stemming from AI implementation. It's 30,000 jobs they're talking about right there.
Mm-hmm.
Technology is the leading private sector in job cuts. So you're seeing a lot of this, and you start to wonder, okay, these people are now unemployed. Where are they going to find a job? It's just there's going to be kind of a glut of people unemployed looking for jobs. Jobs are going to become more scarce overall.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have less people having the jobs, including younger people. You have less people doing things like, well, for instance, going to Vegas or going to a concert or going to any kind of you have less time or less money for doing things that are fun that you just assume are part of life. But we're going to get to a point where there's just going to be so many people unemployed.
Do you think there needs to be, I mean, this would be a crazy thing to say that the federal government would ever step in to bail out a certain industry or anything like, you know, banking or automotive or anything like that. That thing wouldn't happen.
Well, you can't even imagine it.
Yeah, you wouldn't imagine that happen. Would they come in and Vegas come in and say, listen, we don't have the people coming out here gambling because they don't have jobs. We need like a check to go to all Americans so they can go gamble.
Stimulate them.
That's right. Yeah. See, that's the American way.
Yeah. But here's the thing. That was one industry back in 20, whenever that was. The car industry, right, was bailed out. And I'm just saying that this is the Band-Aid's not big enough for what may be happening with AI, with people losing jobs. And so when the headlines come, Sean, when you see that jobs are cut, the headline that the silent headline is when the jobs are never offered.
There you go. Yeah,
you come out
true.
Of college or university and you've got this degree and suddenly there's no one waiting on you to employ you.
Well, as I mentioned, so Microsoft cuts, it's like 24,000 people this year in layoffs.
24,000.
That they cut. They didn't announce any, but so the company is still growing.
Right.
Their return to shareholders will grow.
That's right.
But the job, they don't need you.
No. They don't need you. And so if that's Microsoft, and that's one example.
That's a big number of people.
And it's a huge number of people. If that's one example, and you have other industries looking at AI and seeing how it's almost inevitable. Many, many industries are going to turn to AI, and that would be inevitable that a lot of people, again, are going to lose their job. And then on the backside of it, jobs will not even be offered. And that, like I say, that would be kind of the silent cut of all of this, is that the jobs are not even created. And you think of growing industries and you think of job creation, but in the next 10 years, that may not be the case. It may not be hand in hand.
In the next year.
8:22, Dan and Sean on FM Talk 106.5. On the text line this morning, 251-343-0106. Talking about AI. The industrial war days are gone. No wars, no jobs. Go back to living off the land and worshiping God. And that's from Ricky.
You don't say.
This morning.
That haiku?
That's from Ricky.
That's beautiful.
Also, I guess you weren't familiar with this.
Too many
Moore.
People live off the land.
I'm coming to your place. I'm going to fudge off you here and there. talking about layoffs, and he quoted Jim Moore, the former coach of the Saints, when he said, "Playoffs? Are you talking about layoffs?" So they're saying layoffs instead of playoffs. I get it. Kind of funny. And also, what else do we have here?
A couple I want to, like Michael had said, too, about, because I was talking about bowling for a second, because you're talking about the event coming up tonight. There is a resurgence going on in it. And it's like, because you're talking about high school bowling. He said high school bowling is exploding just like bass fishing. The fishing still makes me mad. It wasn't an option in the 90s. Preach, Michael. Believe me, I've said after I graduated, they started having their first, maybe a decade and a half, something, collegiate bass fishing team. I could have had a varsity sport there, but wasn't an option. But yeah, the kids getting into like Fairhope fishing, that high school fishing team. I know there are others, but I've followed them more. They've been really, it's a neat thing. I mean, there's a place for, that's why I've always talked about my belief in scouts as well, scouting, because there's kids that can't play football or basketball or track or whatever, but there's a thing for them to get organized in. Somebody might like to fish. Somebody might like to bowl. There's things like that, and it's good to see those things picking back up. What's old is new again. That's only been the cycle since, the Old Testament.
One of my favorite, when I worked with the bowl game here in Mobile, one of my favorite nights of the entire schedule, the annual schedule, was when we had the art finals, and the best artist in high school in the region designed the magazine cover, or the program for the bowl game itself. It was really cool. Like, give them a little love and a little light, right?
Yeah, but except AI really does good.
AI's going to knock that out. William Carroll, there was some controversy going on at council yesterday. He's going to join us in a bit to straighten all that out. Good morning, Dan, Sean, FM Talk 106.5. Dalton back in the saddle tomorrow, 8:36 on your Wednesday. Time to talk to Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive, and Louie's on the line right now. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Doing just fine. I know that McConnell Automotive, you've got a bunch of cars new and used that people can check out on the website anytime, but they can see if you have what they're looking for. They can simply come by and see you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're stacking cars on top of cars. We got over 70 used cars in stock. Man, we hadn't had that many in a long time. Got over 30 trucks. So you're looking for a pickup truck? It's right around hunting season's right around the corner. We've got plenty of four-wheel drives and two-wheel drives. Just looking for a little stuff to haul trash around in. We got that. Like you said, check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. On the new car side, we got plenty of three-quarter ton trucks. Plenty of trucks. I mean, we're a truck capital, I think. But you know, got 0% on some of those new Sierras sitting over there. So, like you said, check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
I don't know what people's driving habits, not so great the last couple of days on the roads. So you have people that suddenly their new car doesn't look so new. And you've got a body shop to take care of all that, right?
That's right. Rachel and all the guys and the girls back there take care of all your insurance needs and set you up for a loaner car if you have that unfortunate accident. And if you get that phone call and says, it's total, McConnellAutomotive.com. We got a great selection of cars, like I said. Just come by and see us. We're east of I-65 on Dolphin Street in beautiful Midtown Mobile.
Appreciate your time, Louie. Thanks a bunch.
Hey, thank y'all.
Louie Arata with McConnell Automotive and McConnellAutomotive.com. 8:39 on FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. You were mentioning that Spiro Tsiriogatis has got, he's now the million-dollar man, huh?
Yeah, and you start to, if you look at that story, you have over $1 million fundraising, and look at the other three as well. I don't know what our record is on spending in the mayoral campaign. If usually as time goes on, things get more expensive. But this, I think, has got to be on slate to be the most amount of money raised by candidates running for mayor for the city of Mobile. Mm-hmm. I'll do the math. Okay. I'll let AI do the math, and I'll get to you on Midday Mobile on that one.
Speaking of the mayor, the council, and things like that, Mobile City Councilman William Carroll called on his colleagues yesterday to kill a controversial deal to sell city-owned land worth more than $300,000 to the Mobile Area Mardi Gras Association for a dollar. William, he joins us on the line right now. William, good morning. Thanks for joining Mobile Mornings. Can you talk about all this and see us through the story?
First of all, let's just go back several months. Several months ago, the administration, had conversations with MAMGA about the YMCA and the transference of multiple properties at that time to MAMGA from the YMCA, and then giving complete ownership of the YMCA back to Dearborn Street YMCA. At that time, that would not have been beneficial to the Y at all, simply because of the fact that the operating costs, like things like utilities, operations and other things are supplied or sponsored by the city. We're talking about maybe $150,000 a year in just simple utility bills and other little small things, but still yet the city owns the building or has an agreement in place for capital improvement on the buildings too, which also needs to be done. And if the Y had to do all those things on their own, it would have just made them insolvent or bankrupt them, or they wouldn't have been in business a year after that transaction happened. So that opportunity was also tabled, or it was killed. So that was several months ago. So I guess they tried to rethink the agreement, and I think that was done by Ricardo Woods, the city attorney, and maybe some members from MAMGA, and I don't know if the Y was involved, but from what they say, they were not. And they came back with another idea or an opportunity to give two pieces of land to MAMGA and just transfer the land. The building had nothing to do with it. But still yet, in transference of the land, the Y was using that land or is using that land, and it would have made some of their programs not very successful. So in realizing that, you know, I asked 2 weeks ago at the first read, with the administration come back to us with all the information, you know, what is it being used for? Why are we transferring it? What's the plan? What does the future look like for both MAMGA and the Y? And, you know, all the details, we did not get those details as asked for. So as a result of that, we killed the second opportunity yesterday. So as of right now, there's no property transfers to MAMGA in any sort of way, and the Y remains operating just as it is until someone can totally figure out how to make sure that the Y remains whole over its lifetime if whenever any type of land is tried to be traded from anyone to anyone from the Y or from the city that might adversely affect them.
You know, okay, Councilman, when the story came up yesterday, you started reading through going, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's
reading
what I'm
through.
At.
I mean, and you went through some of those things, like for, I guess, regular Mobilians, never thought about who owns the property there that the Y is on. I know talked about that it says here, George Irvine, YMCA's attorney, said a recorded escrow agreement states the deed to the Dearborn property was to be transferred to the YMCA 2 decades after its current building opened. It's unclear why that transfer did not take place. I mean, the whole thing is kind of murky to me right now.
Well, like I said 2 weeks ago, there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done to make sure that we're clear in this issue. The original escrow agreement was written in 1976. We didn't even have this form of government in 1976.
That's right.
And in that agreement, it says that after 20 years, the total property reverts back to the Dearborn Street YMCA. So that means that during the Dow administration, the property should have reverted back to the Dearborn Street YMCA. But when you look at it, the Y's operating, you know, expenses or revenue that they generate, 90% of it comes from grants. So, and the other 10%, I don't know why. So you're a nonprofit with 90% of it that's coming from grants.
Mm-hmm.
It would be detrimental. It would have been detrimental at the time in 1996 to give them back the property without them having a revenue generating source to maintain operations and also capital improvements. So I guess at that time, they did not transfer the property back. Now, since I've been back in office, there's been 2 attempts to do the same thing, and they've both failed for the same reasons. So, you know, at some point in time, you know, and their lawyer was right. I mean, yes, the property should have come back or should have come back to them. But at the same time, their executive director, she is also has a valid point saying that, you know, if we have to maintain all of this on our own without city support, then we may not make it. And the people at this Y serves is a broad area, and they do a lot of things. But they're mostly underserved, so we need to make sure that they remain whole.
You kind of, I don't know, it seems like the sword sharp on both sides, right? So here, the city has some say-so in it, obviously, what we're talking about here, and that's the question. At the same time, if it did what it was supposed to do, like you told us, Councilman, and reverted back to the Y as an entity, they couldn't stay open. So, I mean, how do you figure this one out?
Well, like I said, we're going to have to all get in the room, sit down with the lawyers on both ends of this, and we're going to have to find out how to continue to support the Y so that they remain in great operational presence and they can continue the services that they continue to everyone without them going upside down or becoming insolvent. But at the same time, finding a way to give them an asset in the future, if possible, because right now I don't want to give them anything that's going to hurt them or put them in a position that will help them, or put them in a position that makes them or puts them in danger. So whatever we do, we're going to have to find a way to make sure that the Y is forever taken care of. I'm on the side of the Y in this issue. I think that the people that they serve are in need and of the most need, and we need to make sure that this Y continues to do and perform the services that they do.
I think I feel like I have a pretty good awareness of downtown, William. I for the life of me, I'm looking at the story, seeing we're talking about North Washington Avenue, Congress Street area, I guess. That's where the Dearborn YMCA is. I can't even picture it in my mind. So there's a functioning YMCA down there right now, correct? And has been for a long time?
Yeah, it's been there forever.
Okay.
You know, I was a lifeguard at that Y back in the 80s. I actually took some of my teams from St. Mary's over there to practice for tournaments. So, you know, it's been there forever. Excuse me, it's right there on Warren Street, right off of Congress, in between Washington Avenue and, matter of fact, Washington Avenue and Warren Street.
Mm-hmm.
If you just go all on Dearborn Street, you'll come up on the rear side of it and just take a a right turn, and it'll be right there in your face. It's a light tan brown brick building with a brown metal roof on the top of it.
Wow. And so it's people have memberships there, like at the YMCA out on Downtown or Boulevard. Is that where this one is out here, Sean? Mm-hmm. But in West Mobile, I mean, it's attended, and people lift weights and play basketball and that kind of stuff.
Well, people can lift weights there. There's a swimming pool there. They can work out there. I don't know how their membership works.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or how their operations work, so I can't attest to that. But they do have countless services.
Interesting. So now at this point, like you were yesterday saying, we're killing it, we're going to kill it today. I didn't get to any information from the administration. I haven't talked to them about anything else, so let's just vote it down today. You said that yesterday in the meeting, and I guess if everybody went along with you, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Interesting. All right, well, thanks for that. So do you think it's at this point, is it dead? Have you killed it? Is this going to find new life somehow, or do you think that's the end of that?
Well, I can't speak to what the administration and the communications between MAMGA or the communication between MAMGA and the YMCA. I don't know what they're doing as far as talking to each other. But as far as the council is saying and what the council decided yesterday, the ordinance that was on the agenda yesterday won't come back. The only thing that can come back is something new under a different number with a different and a different ordinance.
Okay. All right. Thanks for straightening this out for us the best you could. And thanks for your time this morning, William.
Yes, sir.
You got it. William Carroll from City Council, and that was one of the big stories yesterday. That break, well, you were still on the air yesterday?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe at the end of the...
Okay. All right, so anyway, and that Ricardo Woods is the attorney for...
Mm-hmm. City of Mobile.
The
mm-hmm.
City of Mobile, so that would have been the administration, the mayor's office, I guess. All right. 849 FM Talk 106.5.
By the way, the city wants to sell me any parcels of land for $1 for...
Yeah. Our hands are up.
I'm in. Let me know.
See some squirrely stuff like that
in our text or an email. I'm in.
251-343-0106 if you want to join the show. Certainly, you're allowed. And 849 now on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Good morning from Dan and Sean. Thank you to Leanna earlier today. She was in for Dalton between 6 and 8 on Mobile Mornings. Had that crazy story out of a theater. Have you seen that video?
I haven't.
It's, I mean,
I, you know,
it's like
too
they
busy,
were,
I was too busy living my life to watch a video of people
fools.
Being each, yeah,
of fools.
Like, I mean, if it's served up right in front of me, maybe.
Yeah, well,
I don't see. Maybe my algorithm is off. I don't see the.
Then come your way, huh?
Yeah, and I mean, when we post something up with our Facebook or page or something like that, I'll see it. But like, I don't. Yeah, the algorithm doesn't serve me a lot of that.
Well, it was almost like they were mimicking what they saw on the tape on the video from Cincinnati. I mean, people are down on the ground, and that's when the brutality begins, you know, in earnest.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to knock someone to the ground. In this case, one girl was fighting one girl and another girl was fighting, but guys were around. And then when the girls go to the ground, now it's time to stomp and kick. That's mm-hmm. that's the new thing going around these days. So kids in Theodore have learned their lesson very well. I would hope that that's going to be prosecuted to...
Yeah.
With much gusto. It's disgusting when you watch something like that. I mean, you know, we never claimed to be angels in my day or yeah. your day. You know, I joke about that my dad was a judge. And when I would, Anthony Cesare and I are skipping off the porch at 7:15 that night, heading into whatever that we were going to get into that night on a Friday in our mm-hmm. little town. And my dad would simply say to me, "Hey, Danny, don't get caught." And And I'm thinking, yeah, well, he's the judge. He doesn't want to see me in front of him.
That's right.
So I'm not saying
throw the book at you.
Yeah, I wasn't an angel, but nothing would, I don't think anything would compel me. I was in fights, but nothing would compel me to be so brutal as what we're seeing in these mob scenes.
No, correct. I guess the only silver lining, if I'm looking for one, they didn't shoot anybody.
They didn't shoot anybody.
But it's, you know, once again, you start kicking people in the head, you can do serious brain damage. I mean, kids are going to fight. I mean, you fight, you scrap, and... You start kicking people in heads and all that stuff. Long term brain damage.
Someone is down. Well, that's the first thing that freaked me out about the
Cincinnati.
No, the fighting without the gloves or the fighting that is now MMA.
That's free will signing up for
that's
something.
True.
Who's
you that's know. True, but it just seemed over the top. Brutal when I first watched it. I can probably watch 7 MMA fights in a row now.
Could you desensitize yourself?
I'm desensitized by it, but when I first witnessed it, it just seemed like boxing at least had a referee that stepped in when things got technical knockouts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And MMA, I guess, got all that stuff. It just seemed like it was further down the road before they would get to waving their arms and saying, this is over. What you got planned at noon today?
Probably have Cameron Smith is going to join me, who one of my fill-ins while I was gone. So Cameron will join me, Erica Thomas. Got a lot of stuff lined up, plus a reminder here. I'm still getting people sending me emails for questions for the mayoral debate coming up a week from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, what is it, 14th? Yeah, I think it's 14th. That Thursday, we're going to be at the Business Expo. Down at the convention center, we'll be doing Midday Mobile from noon to 2, but Midday Mobile will be this mayoral debate that goes on for the 2 hours. What I've talked about with y'all, I was saying it yesterday too, if you looked at WKRG's debate from Monday night that Peter Albrecht did, people said, well, they only gave him 30 seconds to answer. Here's a tough thing. I've done three or four debates I've moderated. If you want longer answers from the candidates, I got to ask fewer questions.
Yeah.
If you want questions, you got to have shorter answers.
Yeah.
So we got to work through that. But I'm still taking y'all's suggestions on questions. Emailing Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com with your question for the mayoral debate a week from Thursday.
Evidently, Jeff Ford's European vacation continues. April Marie in again today, and she's on the way, just minutes away on FM Talk.